There is a saying which goes back quite a way in time. Some attribute the saying to Aristotle, while others attribute it to the Jesuits. The phrase, "Give me a child until he is seven, and I will give you the man." Similarly, the proverb says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Whichever way you look at this, is often borne out in life. Our upbringing moulds us from the earliest times. State education seems to be beginning at an ever earlier age. Working parents, in order to provide for their children, often place their offspring in state-subsidised childcare nurseries. Childcare leads to preschool. Preschool to kindergarten. Kindergarten to junior school. Then on to secondary school, which now cares for the child or young adult's further education. Now in Britain, the school leaving age is, I believe, 18 years, with many going on to higher education at university or similar colleges. So from the age of 3, right the way through to the age of 18, the state claims the responsibility to educate the nation's children. In 2010, there was a survey carried out in the United States by the NORC unit of the University of Chicago to ascertain the attitude of the population towards lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender brigade, in which 46% of those surveyed approved of same-sex marriage. When a similar survey was carried out 2 decades ago in the year 1988, the acceptance rate was only 11%. The difference in the results was astounding. Also, of great importance was the fact that of the 2,000 people who were surveyed in 2010, 26% of them were under the age of 30, of whom 64% approved of same-sex marriage. One has to ask why, and I think that some of you may well have guessed the answer to this brief introduction. If we take that introduction a little further, here in the United Kingdom, school teachers are demanding that they should be able to promote gay relationships as positive in school. The report from the Daily Telegraph of the 6th of April this year, as reported in the Church Prophetic News column, reads, "UK, the government should be forced to portray gay relationships in a positive light, teachers say, causing outrage among influential Christian charities. The call on schools including a positive portrayal on same-sex relationships emerged as part of a motion on a debate for the manifesto for a new government on LGBT rights in schools, which was being debated at the National Union of Teachers conference in Harrogate. The motion, which was passed, calls on teachers to put pressure on the government to make it compulsory that schools' sex education policies include a positive portrayal of same-sex relationships." As Isaiah was inspired to say, "Your teachers have transgressed against me." The reason that I am broaching this subject is because some of us find it astounding that the views of society should be changing at such a rapid pace. Here is the reason. In Britain, we are following the line set by the education institutions of the United States. What I want to do today is to draw our attention to the horrendous fact that the English-speaking world is churning out vast numbers of young adults with absolutely no moral guidance, no moral guidelines at all. It is important that we recognise this fact, because we need to realise how education is affecting not just the young, but society as a whole. Something that will bring dire consequences to both the British and the American peoples. Most of us will realise that behind this march towards wholesale acceptance of homosexuality and all its perversions is a super archangel, that being called Lucifer, or Lightbringer, is now the great adversary of the whole of the human race. Satan, the devil, the deceiver, the slanderer. So where exactly did all this start? It's fair to say in the Garden of Eden, I suppose. But where in modern times? For those of you who are avid readers of the weekly church update and the prophetic news column, the name Antonio Gramsci will not be unfamiliar. Antonio Gramsci was an Italian communist of the early 20th century. Gramsci fled Italy in the 1920s and went to Russia. After a few years there, he became convinced that they were taking the wrong track in trying to overthrow or conquer the West, that is, Europe and the United States. He postulated that these societies had far too great a religious background in their culture, far too strong a work ethic, and that such like, to accept socialist or communist guidelines as a way of life, as the Russians were presenting it. He wrote extensively that before it would be possible to impose such repressive regimes in those countries, it would first be necessary to destroy the old culture entirely. Then, and only then, would it be possible to bring socialism to its final complete domination of society. Gramsci advocated infiltrating the main supporting columns of Western society, the religious establishment, the legislative bodies, and primarily the educational establishment. It is in the education that tomorrow's leaders are fashioned, that is, both secular and sectarian leaders. It is here that Gramsci said that the greatest efforts should be made. Here is a way of controlling people's minds. As I mentioned previously, children are in state education system from the age of 3 in preschool to the age of 18, with many going on to university in a further 3 to 5 years of indoctrination. So the state has a captive audience of young, impressionable and malleable minds for a minimum of 15 years. All the while being subjected to what can only be described as truly inappropriate sex education. A sex education that is explicit. And in my younger days, it would have been called pornographic. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12, we find a scripture which in many respects typifies the time in which we live today. Many of the leaders of the English-speaking nations are in their 40s or early 50s. That would indicate that they received the bulk, if not all, of their education since about 1970. That was a time when flower power, the hippie revolution, and free love were having their early impact on society. And here in Isaiah chapter 3, and we read in verse 12, the following words. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. In the 1960s, there was a decade when the younger generation began to throw off all forms of restraint. There was no longer any moral guidelines. Anything went. Physical relationships were no longer confined to marriage. Marriage itself came under attack, with no-fault divorce being introduced in many Western nations. According to Wikipedia, California introduced a no-fault divorce in 1970. The culmination of the youthful revolution would appear to have been in the music festival at Woodstock in New York. It was, sorry, in New York State. That was in 1969, which was a forerunner and a model for similar music festivals to be held throughout the Western nations. In addition to the music, drugs, drink, and sex were the big attractions. According to Wikipedia, that festival was also widely considered to be the definitive nexus for the larger counterculture revolution. Since then, it has been said that the Woodstock agenda has been accomplished. Many, if not most, of today's teachers were brought up during this turbulent time. Those teachers now educate the youth of today. 2 years prior to Woodstock, Here in Britain, homosexual acts in private between adults were no longer a criminal act. That being the result of the Sexual Offences Act of 1967. At the Conservative Party conference of 1987, then Prime Minister Mrs. Margaret Thatcher stated that children who need to be taught to respect traditional moral values are being taught that they have an inalienable right to be gay. Then in 1988, the UK government amended the Local Government Act of 1986 with what became known as Section 28. That stated that local authority shall not knowingly promote homosexuality or publish material with the intention of promoting homosexuality. Neither should a local authority promote the teaching in any maintained school, that is a state school, of the acceptability of homosexuality as a pretended family relationship. Needless to say, Section 28 was opposed by the very vociferous gay lobby. Section 28 was subsequently overturned by the British Parliament in 2003. And 6 years later, our present Prime Minister, Mr. David Cameron, apologised for the introduction of Section 28. One wonders why a Conservative Prime Minister would apologise for conserving moral values. The mind boggles. The problem now is that opposition to overtly pro-homosexual education will be squelched. Put simply, any disagreement will be ruthlessly silenced. If the celebration of homosexuality is one side of the public or state school coin, the other side is the denigration of opposing views. And when those contrary views are rooted in Christian beliefs, the antagonism that arises from gay sympathisers will be even more rigorous. For example, an article in December 2004 by Ed Vitagliano, the editor of the American Family Association Journal News, reported that at Arcata High School in Arcata, California, Christian students in that school were ridiculed for their beliefs about homosexuality in a sexual education lesson. Led by a representative of Planned Parenthood, students were told to stand in a circle and were asked, "Do you have a religious belief about homosexuality that considers it a sin and wrong?" Those who did were told that they had to remain alone in the circle. The representative admitted that the children who answered yes had to stay in the circle. This caused them to feel very demeaned and put down. Intimidation has become an acceptable form of opposition to religious belief. Teachers are leaders in education, and they are leading children in their care astray. Planned Parenthood has also hit the headlines recently in some very controversial dealings in aborted infant body parts. If we now turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 on, we will see what the Apostle Paul foretold the situation that we now find before us. The teaching profession has been waylaid by an evil consortium that has brought into fruition the primary concept of Antonio Gramsci's contention that in order to overcome the Western nations, one has to destroy the undergirding culture. For many years, this country and other English-speaking nations have turned their backs on their Judeo-Christian heritage and enacted laws which are contrary to the commandments of God. These words from the Apostle Paul explain very clearly why people can end up with a vile, distorted opinion of the Bible. Now, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to read what was written in the prophetic news section, because Mr. Henderson very kindly provided the New Living Translation of these words. So, beginning in verse 18, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they know God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, instead they became utter fools. And then dropping down to verses 28 and 29, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Then 32, verse 32, they know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. On Wednesday this week, in the prophetic news column on the church website, there was an article which showed just how far Gramsci's agenda has gone. The Kentucky Department for Juvenile Justice is demanding that volunteer counsellors sign a statement assuring the state that they will never refer to homosexuality as sinful. Those who refuse to sign such a statement are being dropped from the state counsellors' program, despite the fact that those counsellors are trying to help youths who have violated the law in some respect. People who were taught by those who have cast off restraint are now casting off even greater restraint. Accordingly, it has been said that the Kentucky Department of Juvenile Justice Article 912 equates the teaching of the Bible morality with derogatory, biased and hateful speech. What we are seeing today is that society's standards have been stood on their head in the English-speaking peoples, and the English-speaking peoples have abdicated their responsibility for the upbringing of their children. In effect, their upbringing has been handed to the state, which in turn has given control of that upbringing of the nation's youth to the teaching fraternity. Dennis Cuddy reported a statement by the United States National Education Authority President, Catherine Barrett, who in the early 1970s admitted that by the year 2000, basic skills would be drastically reduced in education. And she said, when this happens, and it is near, the teacher can rise to his due calling. More than a dispenser of information, the teacher will be a conveyor of values, a philosopher. He will be agents of change. Unbeknown to many in the teaching profession, they have become the agents of change. With the teaching of false values, they have helped to destroy a culture which had its roots in the foundational principles of the book that many of us hold here in our hands today, the Bible. A culture which had its roots in that foundation principles in that book. This book has been described by an officer and by an official of the United States as being derogatory, biased, and containing hateful speech. That official was a product of the educational process of one of the English-speaking nations. I hope they brought home the fact that education provided by the state is having an impact on society, and then society has an impact on us. In closing, I'd like you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 9 and beginning in verse 3. If we are to attend the marriage supper of our Lord and Master, we must appear in fine white linen, which is without spot or blemish. And in this day and age now, we should be utterly appalled at what we see today in our land. In Ezekiel chapter 9, the beginning of verse 3, we read the following. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go to the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of all the men that sigh and cry for the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.